I will be reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. You therefore, my son, be strong in grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, come these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ, of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier.
We sing a song, Soldiers of Christ Arise and Put Your Armor On. Members of the Lord's church are soldiers in the Lord's army. As soldiers, there are certain characteristics that God demands of those that are soldiers of His that serve in the army of the Lord. 2 Timothy 2 gives some of those characteristics within its text, and we're going to review that this evening as time allows, however many points we can get through. If you have your Bibles open, notice in verses 1 and 2, Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We are to be strong. Strong in what? Strong in the grace. And where is it located? Located in Christ Jesus. I think I mentioned that this morning. There is no grace found outside of Christ. When one is in Christ, one is in grace. And reflecting upon that grace for our soul salvation and the relationship we have with God will make the soldier of Christ strong. You know, we find even kings in the Old Testament were described as strong in relying on and focusing on the Word of God. In 1 Kings 2, verses 2 and 3, they are speaking to Solomon. There, David told Solomon, I go the way of all the earth. Be thou strong, therefore, and show thyself a man. Keep the charge of the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, and to keep His statutes, and His commandments, and His judgments, and His testimonies, as is written in the law of Moses. Notice that David tells Solomon that he's to be strong and tells him how he is to be strong in focusing on, in keeping, in following, in walking in the commandments, statutes, and ways of the Lord. Coming to the New Testament, the soldier of Christ is told in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 13, Watch ye and stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Watch carries the idea of being focused with every fiber of your being. The word picture of this word translated watch is as if one is awoken in the middle of the night. And then you don't know what you heard, so you're straining to hear, straining to see what may have awoken you in the middle of the night, ready to respond to anything. Spiritually speaking, this is speaking of scrutinizing every facet of the spiritual realm. He says to watch ye, stand fast in the faith. Be able to stand and face persecution, false doctrine. Stand for Christ, soldier. Don't move. Quit ye like men. Behave yourself like men, not like children. And to be strong, be powerful. It takes strength to be a king of a nation, as we saw in regard to David. It takes strength to be a Christian. It takes strength to stand for what is right and to stand against that which is wrong. Our young people show tremendous strength. Do you hear this, young Christians, young of age? You show tremendous strength when you stand against all the evils that seek to ensnare you in today's sin-sick world. It takes strength to stand for the doctrine of Christ and to not go beyond or falling short of what is written of God's teachings. Preachers must be strong when they preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. We must reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. Elders must be strong Spiritually speaking, Titus 1, 9 through 11, one of the characteristics of an elder, holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. We must stand fast. We must stand in the faith. We must stand in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the soldier of Christ must be strong in the word, verse 2. And the things, what things? Well, this is the gospel. The things that thou hast heard of me, Paul said. Well, he preached the gospel. That's what he's saying. Pass on the gospel. The things you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He's not to change the message of the gospel. It's to be the same things that Paul had taught. So the soldier must be strong in the world, in the word. That men are to learn the word, the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, must also be faithful to the word and teach the word. Faithful soldiers we must be, likewise, as we see in verses 1 and 2. And then notice verses 3 and 4. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. To be a soldier of Jesus Christ, the soldier is to be single-minded. We must be people who have our priorities in their proper order. We must learn to put first things first. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 24, no man can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Reading on in that chapter in verse 33, Jesus brings it to a point when he said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What should be first in the Christian's life, in the soldier of the Lord? What should be the first in his life? Seeking first the kingdom of God. There will never be the occasion or the circumstance, friends, when it will be right to put spiritual things in second place. A shameless plug, if anybody happened to look at the article today, in the second full paragraph, I wrote this. Let us examine ourselves as to where our priorities are. Paul points out to the Colossian Christians that being Christian involves higher priorities. Quote, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3, 1 and 2. Paul is saying that the heart is not set upon that which is below, that is the world, in the same way and to the same extent in which it is set upon things above, that is heaven. Then I ask us to consider, where are your priorities? If we're going to be the kind of soldiers that we must be, that we should be, we will have to learn the lesson of single-minded service. Some become so busy in the affairs of everyday life, they don't have time to study their Bible. They feel like they don't have time to attend worship services or to do a great number of other things the Lord requires of His soldiers. No man ever truly excelled at anything worthwhile unless he put forth his whole energy and devotion into that thing. I don't know how many may have heard of this, maybe some of my compatriots in here. In 2004, there was a man by the name of Tom Knapp. He made history and actually broke one of his previous records. He takes a 12-gauge shotgun with an extended tube magazine, and he's able to pick up 10 clay targets in his hand. Now, if you've ever tried to do that, try it. That's a feat in itself. And he was able to throw those 10 skeet, those 10 clay targets into the air and could bust all 10 of those clay targets before they hit the ground in 2.2 seconds. The listed timing for these unbelievable records have been digitally recorded for accuracy. He could also take a .22 rifle and shoot an aspirin out of the air. Needless to say, he was a very good marksman. Now let me ask you, how can a person accomplish such a feat being so proficient with a shotgun or be so proficient with a .22 rifle? It was because he had devoted his life to it. What kind of soldiers do you suppose you and I would be if we devoted such time, talent, energy to serving the Lord? While that's an enjoyable pastime, like Tom Knapp engaged in, right? But what if we translated that into that kind of energy and devotion, time into serving the Lord? Men who excel in whatever it may be do so because they devote their very being to the endeavor. How can we do less as we serve the Lord in His army, soldiers of Christ? Not only single-minded, the soldier of Christ is strict. Notice verse 5. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully. That to strive lawfully there means to obey the rules. And he's not crowned. That's the victory crown. He's using the imagery of an athlete. An athlete participating in some sporting event. He cannot expect to win the sporting event unless he keeps within the rules of the game. The rules are the standard. They apply to every participant in the athletic game. There's no variation permitted. The point the apostle is making has application to the Christian life. No reward can be expected by the individual who does not abide by the rules of the Christian race. There is a standard. The rules are established by the Lord. The Lord does not allow anyone to deviate from this standard. We must not go beyond the things that are written. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 6, American Standard Version. We must abide in the doctrine of Christ. To fail to do so is to cease to have the fellowship of God. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. 2 John verses 9 through 11. We must also avoid those who teach error. Remember Romans 6 verse 17? Now I beseech ye, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine of which you have learned, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. And we must withdraw from the disorderly to be soldiers of Christ. 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren. Now some people miss this point. This is a command. This is an inspired apostle speaking with apostolic authority to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's by the authority of Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. The soldier of Christ is to be strict. Our society needs to be far stricter with the laws that it has. Parents need to be stricter in the home. If you don't believe that, go to a grocery store or Walmart and watch them youngins and how they talk to and treat their parents. If you think the home don't need to be stricter, the parents don't need to be stricter. Their preachers and elders need to be strict with the Word of God. We must speak where the Bible speaks. We must be silent where the Bible is silent. Some people think that it is being too strict to refuse to use mechanical instruments of music in worship, too strict to not allow women in the pulpit of the church, too strict to practice New Testament church discipline, too strict to hold fast to a great number of many other things demanded by the inspired Word of God. When men remain within the boundary of God's Word, I submit to you, they are not being too strict. They are just right. That is, as strict as God would have them to be. Neither going to the right hand, neither to the left. God's Word is the standard. That is the rule book. And we must abide by that. We have a pattern laid out in the Scriptures. And we must abide, we must precisely follow that pattern if we are to be crowned, verse 5 of our text. So the soldier of Christ is strict. Jump over to verse 11 with me. I wish we had time to go through the entire chapter, but I'm going to kind of hop through this. As we consider that the soldier of Christ is secure, verses 11 through 13, it is a faithful saying, "For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." Focus specifically in verses 11 and 12. If we be dead with him, I believe that's describing our conversion, Romans 6, 2 through 11, where we have died to sin. We have died to sin and been buried in the waters of baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. We shall also live with him. That is in the hereafter. That is eternal life. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. Once saved, always saved, friends, is a false doctrine. False to the core. But that is a very prominent doctrine in our religious world. But we must not let that false doctrine keep us from knowing that we are saved and that we are faithful servants of God. I believe that many times people, in reaction to that once saved, always saved, that a person can rape, pillage, and plunder and do whatever one person that holds that doctrine said they could die in a fornicator's bed and they were married and not endanger their soul one whit. And I think it is highly likely in reaction to that doctrine that many people are afraid to say, someone will ask them, "Are you saved?" "Well, I don't know. Maybe. I guess I'll find out in the hereafter." "Well, are you going to heaven?" "Well, I don't know. I just have to wait and see." They act like they don't have any assurance whatsoever. And someone that holds that doctrine of once saved, always saved, they think they're never going to be lost. Well, that's false. But why would they leave that and obey the gospel and come to the Lord's church if it's the case that one cannot know they are saved and not have assurance? They would rather stay where they're at and have assurance, albeit falsely. They do not have assurance of eternal salvation. They don't even have salvation in these denominations. But my point is this. We need to understand that we can know that we are saved. We can be secure. If we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's an affirmative statement, brothers and sisters. We shall live with him. Now, don't misunderstand me. A child of God will never make a practice of sinning. 1 John 3, verse 9. But now, if you read in 1 John, you get to chapter 5, verse 13. There, John writes and says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Now, what does John say that we can know? That we can know that we have eternal life. Can we have assurance? Yes, indeed we can. It's not the impossibility of apostasy. Many people will twist and wrest those scriptures into false doctrine and just torture those scriptures to death, trying to make it into what they believe is once saved, always saved. But don't misunderstand me. Just because it don't teach once saved, always saved, does not mean that it is not giving the soldier of Christ, the child of God, assurance. And we can know that we are faithful because, going back to the previous point, we have the standard. If we are following the rule book, if we are following what God has laid out through Christ, through the Holy Spirit and inspired men, we can know that we are being faithful and we can know that we have eternal life. We have it in prospect. We've talked about that before, not in actuality. But it's not, when it comes to eternal life, when it comes to salvation, making heaven, it's not a guess. It's not some nebulous destination that's some kind of fuzzy thing out there and don't know if I'll hit it or not. That's not the case. The Bible affirms that we can be sure. And we can be sure of our salvation. We can be sure of our hope of heaven. We can be sure that we are being faithful. One, because what we have done. We've obeyed the gospel, been raised to walk in newness of life. We know what we've done. We know where we are. If we've obeyed the gospel, we are in Christ. One wants to have a relationship with Christ. That's how you have a relationship, according to the Word of God. And once one has obeyed the gospel, you're in Christ. That's describing a relationship with Christ. You're in Christ. And that's where grace is found. You're in grace if you're in Christ. So what we've done, where He is, and where we're going. Faithful children of God are bound for the promised land. To Canaan's land, I'm on my way. How can somebody say that don't believe that they're on their way to Canaan's land if they can't be sure? Brothers and sisters, soldiers of Christ can be secure. Notice with me also, that the soldier of Christ is sound in the faith, reading on verses 14 through 18. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Striving about to words to no profit. Study to show thyself approved, to study, to be diligent, to be diligently persistent, to be zealously persistent, that word study there. The good soldier of Christ must avoid false doctrine with tremendous diligence and give himself to a study of the Bible. Otherwise, how are we going to rightly divide? That is, to cut straight the Word of God that we read of in verse 15. Of our text. False doctrine will eat away the soul like a cancer will eat away the body. That's the point of verse 17. Notice verse 16. But shun feign and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat at thus the canker, that's false teachers, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Now, what were they guilty of? What was their false teaching? Who concerning the truth have erred. That word erred there means sinned. They've missed the mark. They have sinned, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Hymenaeus and Philetus was teaching that the resurrection was past. Now notice, it's described that as a deadly doctrine. That's what that's being described as. Do you realize that it's infiltrated the church, this idea? It's called the 70 AD doctrine, or realized eschatology. It's infiltrated some congregations of God's people where they're teaching that the resurrection happened in 70 AD. There'll be no future resurrection, but it happened in 70 AD. It's already past. And there are some people say, well, that's not that big a deal. I don't see why that's a big deal. Why are we going to get all in a lather about that? Now, wait a minute. Here, Paul's describing this same idea that the resurrection was past as a deadly doctrine. It's like a gangrene that doth eat, right? A canker, the King James says. The word doth eat, will eat at doth a canker, a cancer, a gangrene. And he describes it as that they have overthrown the faith of some, that they had erred from the truth. How would it be all right now to teach this false doctrine when it was not all right before? All right, now they make some argument. I'm sure they'd make some kind of argument that, well, this is before 70 AD and 70 AD and this and that and this and that. But you have to just reinterpret the entire Bible, make those things that are figurative literal and those things in the Bible that are literal figurative, and it just turns everything up on its head. And my point is this. My point is this, that we need to be sound in the faith. We must have a great relationship with the Word of God. We must speak as the oracles of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Many men believe and follow false doctrine, not because the Bible is difficult to understand, but rather because of what men have said the Bible teaches, when it in fact does not. And by their false teaching, they will lead people astray. For example, Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, verse 16. You realize there are multitudes of people that say, "He that believes shall be saved," and later baptized as an outward sign of an inward grace. Well, that's not what that passage says. That passage says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It doesn't say anything. There's nothing in the Bible about an outward sign of an inward grace. You don't find that anywhere in the Bible, as far as I know. And the tragedy of it all is that most people believe what these people are saying instead of the simplicity of what Jesus Christ said within His Word. I'm going to wrap this up because I'm running short of time. Notice verse 23. Let's start verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strives. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all, apt to teach, patient. Let's stop right there. The soldier of Christ is a servant. We see that in verse 24. A servant of the Lord. Even Jesus was known as a servant. He taught great lessons that His disciples needed. Remember when He washed their feet, showing that there would be no big I's and no little U's in the kingdom. John 13, 4 through 17. Here He says that the servant of the Lord must not strive, that is quarrel, be quarrelsome, but to be gentle unto all, apt to teach. That is, the soldier of Christ must be instructive, patient, that is, forbearing, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance unto the acknowledging of the truth. God will grant opportunity to repent, but man must do the repenting that is commanded of God. That's how we know that man must do it, because God has commanded repentance, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The soldier of Christ is teaching these people. He is forbearing, and he or she is doing all of these things. Why? That we may save souls out of the snare of the devil. That they may repent as God gives them opportunity. That they may obey the gospel. That they may turn from the things that have them entrapped. They recover themselves, verse 26, out of the snare of the devil. They place themselves there. It ain't that God that they got there against their will. They went there willingly. They were enticed and led astray, right? Temptations, the weakness of the flesh, the ever-present temptations round about us. Even children of God will have moments of sin through weakness, not habitual sin. These people are guilty of habitual sin. But we are servants of the Lord when we have these characteristics listed here, and all of these characteristics. And I had to skip over a couple because of time. These are not the only characteristics of a soldier of the Lord. Study more of these, children of God. There are many, many more. Paul gave these to Timothy in his letter to him. May we strive, brothers and sisters, to have these qualities and have them stand clear and stand strong in our lives. May they expand and may they grow, these characteristics, we being the army of the Lord. Think how strong the church would be if every member possessed the qualities of character, built upon these qualities of character that we have discussed in this lesson. Now I ask, we've talked about the army of the Lord and being a soldier of the cross, a soldier of the Lord. Is there someone wishing to enlist in the army of the Lord? The Lord has given the enlistment requirements. To be inducted into the army of the Lord, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins." John 8, verse 24. Jesus said that one must repent, turn away from a life of sin, change their mind, change their thinking from their own stubborn, willful way, and go the way that the Lord has laid out in His instruction book that we mentioned earlier. Because Jesus said, repent or perish. Luke 13, verse 3. Confess the name of Jesus Christ, because Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verse 32. And be baptized in water for the remission of sins. We touched on that pretty solid this morning, I think, in the case of Naaman. Remember, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Mark 16 and verse 16. The Lord will then add you to His church. Acts 2 and verse 47. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Those folks on the day of Pentecost obeyed the gospel and were added to the church. You can be added to that same church, the church of Christ, the church belonging to Christ. That's not a denominational name. The church belonging to Christ this evening, the army of the Lord. Be a soldier of the Lord this evening. That's used figuratively, you understand. You don't get stripes and all the rest of it. But we are in a warfare against wickedness, against powers in high places, against Satan, who wants us to go to a devil's hell in the hereafter. So we're in a battle. We're in a battle for the souls of others and for our own soul. That's the reason we're described as soldiers. We're fighting against Satan. Maybe there's someone here that has obeyed the gospel in time past, was baptized, faithful for a time, fell away, wants to come back. You can do that this evening by penitence and prayer. You need to make a public confession for a public sin, lest reproach be brought upon the church. Maybe you need the prayers of the saints for strength as we go through this pilgrimage of life. This warfare can be tiresome and can be burdensome sometimes. But spiritual Israel, soldiers of the cross, do you hear me? We're not in this battle alone. We can lean upon one another, pray for one another, encourage one another as we make our way to heavenly Zion. So whoever needs to respond, please do so as we stand and sing.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. In the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. I will rise from waters deep to the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna. Jesus died and rose again.
Be seated, please.